Thank you, Josh and team. And yes, there's a lot of discernment amongst you going on about me, but let's just park that this morning now, because we're wanting to discern the Lord's word and his growth in our lives, rather than me on display and holding up your scorecards to work out whether I'm a 5 out of 10 or a 7 out of 10. But God's word's always a 10 out of 10 that we are thankful for. Well, ever since I was a boy, I wanted to be one or all of these three guys: Batman, Clint Eastwood, or James Bond. You know, cool, courageous, and classy and composed. No one can mess with them. And just with a glance, they can get the job done. You know, strong, independent, and powerful. Now, funnily enough, on Thursday night, the day we arrived, we went out to dinner with a group of people from this church, and Harold Kahn, who we spent some time with, reminded me of attending his 21st birthday back 35 years ago. And H, are you here today? You said you were going to be. No, he's not. I'll get back to him. Right. Well, he sent me this photo of three young wannabe guys who were trying to look like they were strong, independent, and powerful. Now, that's Harold Kahn in the middle. It's Andrew Meinl, who's a great friend of mine back in the day. And there's another guy on the other side who looks a bit different to what he does today. So I'm not sure whether to laugh or cry at that photo. And I'm also not sure who represents Batman, Clint Eastwood, and James Bond. But back to the real Batman, Clint Eastwood, and James Bond, the guys that I really wanted to be like. Obviously, I never succeeded, but I did get close once. Back about 10 years ago, I had the opportunity to preach in the largest church in Indonesia, in Jakarta. And I preached with a translator, which is always difficult to get to know the feel and the flow for how you're going and what the response is. And so at the end of the message, I got down and the leader got up to thank me and close the service. And I was really hoping for, you know, that was just one of the greatest messages since Billy Graham walked the face of the earth. And it's changed our lives and we'll never be the same again, you know, something like that. But instead, this is what he said. He said, "How good has it been to have Sean Connery with us this morning? Doesn't he look and sound so much like Sean Connery?" So 10 years ago, far away in Jakarta, just for a brief time, I was Bond, James Bond. Now, I tried to double down on this and I called Janine up and asked her for some affirmation. I said, "So they all think I look a bit like James Bond. Well, what do you think, honey?" And in her gentle but devastating and crushing way, she said, "Not really." Now, you're probably wondering where all this is going. Well, just in a silly way, that I wanted to be strong, independent, and powerful like James Bond. In a really serious way, the accelerated aspiration of the world today is to be strong, independent, and powerful. It used to be the way that men were described, but ironically, it's now the celebrated aspiration of the modern woman. Have you noticed it? All across our screens and airwaves, all the celebrities, media personalities, entertainers, influencers, and all those who call them the elites of the world, they all love to talk about themselves as being strong, independent, and powerful. "I'm a force, I'm fierce, I stand on my own, nobody can tell me what to do, I'm a somebody, me, me, me." Now, it may sound good in a way to be strong, independent, and powerful. But really, is it good? Does being strong, independent, and powerful make you more successful? Does it make you a better person? Does it make you a godly person? Does it make you more like Jesus Christ? Does being strong, independent, and powerful align with God's word and will for your life? The truth that I want to get across today is what the world and the culture says versus what God's word says is like the east is from the west. Yet, the concerning thing is that modern Christianity and modern churches are being so influenced by the modern world and culture that it's falling into compromise and confusion. Listening to the loud voices of the world and being deceived into thinking that the true way of life is to be fitting more into the world. Being like the world, strong, independent, and powerful, rather than being surrendered to what this archaic, old-fashioned, irrelevant book has to say. Yet ironically, this book has never been as relevant than what it is today. Because this isn't just ink on a page. As followers of the risen and the returning Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be surrendered to it more than ever, because it's the inspired word of God. And it's going to last way beyond the temporary trends of the world, along with those who want to continue to pursue down the pathway of being strong and independent and powerful. So what does God's word have to say to us in response to this pursuit of the world and being strong, independent, and powerful? Well, it is true that God wants us to be strong people. People with strong convictions, people who are confident and are sure in life, who stand strong in life no matter the circumstances. He doesn't want us to be uncertain people, to be hesitant, to be flaky, to be weak-willed. He wants us to be strong. And this is the declaration that we find in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, where it says this: be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So there's no doubt that God wants us to be strong, but in a very different way to what the world says for us to be strong. Why? Well, can you see it? Firstly, the first point today is, how does God's word tell us that we are to be strong? Well, it's firstly not in self, but it's being strong in the Lord. True strength doesn't come from our self-identity, by believing in yourself, by doing things your own way, by relying upon your own resources, not letting anyone tell me what to believe or what to do. It only comes from being strong in the Lord. Now, when you survey the greats of Bible history, they were definitely very strong people. But Moses knew where his strength came from when he led the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt and took them miraculously across the Red Sea. And this is what Moses said: the Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me the victory. Then Joshua wasn't just courageous and strong in taking the Israelites then into the promised land, but this is what God said to him. He said, be strong, Joshua, and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then David knew exactly what made him a strong warrior and king. It's what David said: the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. of whom shall I be afraid? And then Mary. Mary didn't boast in her own ability and worthiness to host the Son of God and Savior in her womb. But this is what Mary said. She said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me." These mighty men and women of history, biblical history, who God powerfully used to change the world for his purposes and his plans, were all very strong people, but not in themselves. They were all strong in the Lord. Personally for me, I stand here only because of the strength of the Lord. For the last 25 years since leaving here in 2001, Satan has seriously tried to destroy my life and my ministry along with my family. But you know, what Satan means for evil, God means for good. And so God has strengthened me through all of this. And today I can testify to you that I'm standing stronger than ever because I've experienced that God is able to work all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. I stand here stronger than ever, knowing that no weapon formed against me shall prosper if God is my shield and strength. I stand here today knowing that if my God is for me, then who can be against me? And in all honesty, Janine and I never really believed in the possibility of us returning to this church when we left in 2001. But whilst God has been taking my life in this messy few decades of ups and downs and ins and outs and backwards and forwards of trials and tribulations and maybe some successes, so God has also been taking this church through a similar journey. And I believe at this time, in God's miraculous convergence, he's bringing those two journeys together. And so I know that I can't and I don't want to be a strong self-made leader. I don't want to just be a strong, driven leader. Because you know what that is, honestly? That's just appearance management to impress other people. Now, I want to be strong in the Lord. Because I know through all my years of ministry and experience so far that I'm just an empty shell without him. For he's the potter, I am the clay. Yet with him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, this may seem weak to the world, but it's really the secret of strength and success, because greater is he that is in me and in you than he that is in the world. And so it's the same with each of you here today, that God wants you to be strong men and women. Young people, he wants you to be strong, but not in the way that the world is telling you to. He's wanting you to stand strong in this life, in the next, by standing strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to rely upon your own self-identity, but he wants you to be identified in him. You see, when you believe in Jesus Christ, this great exchange of life happens. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it explains what this is. It says that I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. Today, identity is the buzzword, isn't it? Everyone's searching for identity, and crazy new identities seem to be being made up every day amongst people who are lost, who are searching for strength and security, for meaning and for purpose in life, but they're searching in all the wrong places. They're searching everywhere, but the true strength, true and lasting source of strength and security, and that is Christ in you. So don't seek to find your own identity, to rely on your own self-identity. Be identified with Jesus Christ and you will stand strong in the Lord. And same with our church. We have no strength in our own ministries, programs, resources, the great facilities and property we have here. Now I call it the ABCs, the all too common reliance upon churches in attendances, buildings, and cash in measuring the strength and success of the church. And it's deceiving so many churches into looking fantastic on the outside, but they're weak and dying on the inside where it really counts, with the Lord. Everything that we have and do as a church is a facade. It's full of weakness unless the God of the church is our strength and our security. Unless everything that we pursue and prioritize, all of our purpose is found in Him alone. And if we remain strong in the Lord as a church and we don't cave to the pressures and the pride of the world that is a constant force amongst us, then we will not only stand strong as a church, but we will experience the very power of God amongst us. I love Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, which says that He is able to do immeasurably more beyond all we could ask or imagine, according to what? His power that is at work within us. So let's not be strong and independent and powerful. Let's be strong in the Lord. And this isn't just a good concept, because the second point I want to highlight that this one verse tells us is that God's credentials back it up. Why can we be strong in the Lord? Well, it's because of His mighty power. And what is His mighty power? Well, it's God's ability to do what He says He can do. It's simply His ability as the very creator of all that exists. Psalm 89 and verse 11 says, "The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all that is in it. You have founded them." And so as the Creator, the Almighty, uncreated, eternal God, all things are possible with Him. Nothing is impossible for Him. And so everything that we could possibly want and need in life is found in Him. So whenever you are facing a battle, and I'm sure most of you are in some way or another this morning, whenever you're facing a battle, God says to you, stand strong because I have my armor to protect you. This passage that we're looking at goes on and says these great words. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, and the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm." Life is full of battles, don't we know it? And too easily we can blame our battles, blame our struggles on others, on the circumstances, on the systems and society. But God's word here clearly warns us to be aware that there is a battle going on that we can't see that is behind it all. See, Satan and his army has a mission to kill, steal, and destroy your life and mine. To steal, kill, and destroy God's church and his eternal kingdom plans to come. And so there's no way that we can fight the spiritual war in our weak flesh and blood resources. It's as stupid as taking a water pistol to a bushfire. We'll get consumed. Now we need the power of God and his spiritual armory, which are all of his spiritual resources that he supplies through our faith and our salvation in Jesus Christ. And this alone can protect us. And this alone can enable us to stand strong and be protected in this spiritual war. But God's mighty strength doesn't just protect us in this war, but his strength also gives us the power to win. And what do I mean by that? Well, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. It reads this: I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. This all says that through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have been given his power to win. Not just any power, but God's incomparably great power for us who believe. And it's the same power that God used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead that he's given to us. The same power that has seated Jesus Christ in the heavenly realms, far above all dominion and powers, is the same power that he provides to each of us who believe in him. And so that means that we have the power to not only come spiritually alive today from our spiritual death, but also one day come alive physically from our spiritual death, just like Jesus Christ, through our promised resurrection and glorification and eternal life with him. And what does this all mean for you today? It means that you can stand strong in life no matter what, because you stand in a position of victory. In his mighty power, what he's done for Jesus is what he's also promised to do for you. It matters not what's going on in the world, what the culture is pressuring you to do. It matters not what fierce battles you are facing in your life at the moment that's trying to maybe bring doubt and confusion and deception. You know, because of God's mighty strength, his Holy Spirit that is within you, and his irrevocable promises, you can stand strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 responds with this declaration, this conviction. It says, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Nothing, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ, you have the power to win. God's promises and his purposes in your life will never be defeated, because he promises, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So don't be seduced into imitating the world, in trying to be strong, independent, and powerful. But be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. But there's one really important condition that I want to highlight this morning, which is really a key for us to unlock the power of God in our lives, and so that we can stand strong in him. And this condition is the opposite of independence. This condition is submission. We need to submit to God. Now, it won't be long before this terrible S word, this despised S word, is eliminated from the world's dictionaries. The world hates this word. The world hates it because it demands humility, self-denial, sacrifice, and obedience. But the command here in Ephesians chapter 6 to be strong in the Lord is in the context of chapter 5 and 6, which is talking all about how we are to live in submission to God and to one another, especially within a culture that preaches the exact opposite. And really, it's a basic equation, isn't it? If we want to draw on God's strength and be strong in the Lord, we need to do things God's way, not our own way. And one passage that I want to focus our attention on for this is back in Ephesians chapter 5, which gives us three very important principles about submission to God. Let's see what this passage says. It says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Three brief principles from this passage that I want to highlight about submission. Firstly, don't be deceived by the world. The world's voice is loud, it's shiny, and it's enticing. And it speaks to our self-centered desires. But this passage says the world's words are empty words. But worse still, the world's words and ways are shameful. And they are headed for the wrath of God and the judgment of God upon this world because of disobedience. But for those of us today who have faith in Jesus Christ, God's word says that we aren't destined for wrath. We aren't destined for his judgment. But what are we destined for? We are destined for the imminent return of Jesus Christ and our resurrection and salvation and his kingdom to come. So don't be deceived by the world's ways and think that they are better and wiser than God's words. And we won't be easily deceived if we then apply the second principle here of submission. And that is that we need to discern the Lord's will. It says we need to discern what pleases the Lord. But it is true that our natural inclination is to be people pleasers. We want to be popular. We want to be liked. We want to be accepted. We don't want to be criticized and rejected. But unfortunately, this often leads to the compromise of the truth because we respond in the fear of man rather than the fear of God. And this doesn't just happen in the world, but it also happens in the church. So many churches today are falling into compromise because they're wanting to be popular to the world. They want to be accepted. They don't want to be criticized and rejected. And consequently, many of the truths of God's word are either being dismissed, downplayed, ignored, or manipulated to make them fit and apply better to society's values. But we as the church of Jesus Christ, we need to stand strong in the Lord, don't we? The Apostle Paul's creed to us in 2 Corinthians 5:9 needs to be ours more than ever today. He says, we make it our aim, our purpose in life, to please him. 1 Corinthians 10:10 likewise tells us that our submission to the Lord is all-compassing. For those of you who know it, what does it say? Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So, to submit to the Lord, we need to firstly not be deceived by the world. We need to discern the Lord's will. And then thirdly, we need to remember who we are. And who are we? We are children of light, not children of darkness anymore. Therefore, walk as such. Don't partner anymore in any way with the ways of the world, which are darkness. Don't dabble in the shameful ways and works of the world, but instead expose them by shining your light, by standing out and showing that you belong to a different kingdom, by standing out and showing the world your biblical convictions and that you stand strong in the Lord and you are not moved. You need to remember who you are. You're children of light and not darkness. Who else aren't you? You are not woke, but you are awake. It says here, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The woke world today is telling us that the world's solutions are now better found in humanity's ways rather than God's ways. That salvation is now found in the freedom of modern values rather than the restrictions applied by the truth of God's word. It's really, wokeism is an inversion of biblical truth that is justifying rebellion against God and the celebration of self. The woke world today is really just a modern manifestation of the Romans chapter 1 culture, where it's exchanging the truth for a lie. And what do we see today with our woke culture? The lie is creation worship, not the Creator. Environmental hope, not Christ's coming. LGBTQ plus pride, not humility before God. Gender choice, not gender designed. Same-sex marriage, not God-ordained marriage. It's unborn disposable tissue, not unborn life that has been fearfully and wonderfully woven together in the mother's womb. All roads lead to God, not the one way of Christ. It's all about self-identity and not new creations in Christ. It's about equality, but God talks more about unity. It's about justice now rather than forgiveness. Rights, not responsibilities. Rebellion, not obedience. Entitlement, not sacrifice. And success, not suffering. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 to 21, we see the warning of God to all of this in response. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. But in Jesus Christ, you are awake. You aren't woke. The woke world is headed for judgment without Jesus Christ. But in Jesus Christ, you are awake and you are headed for Christ's coming and his kingdom and eternal salvation. So I invite the team back up now. The three points of submission: don't be deceived by the world. Discern what pleases the Lord and remember who you are in Christ. This is the foundation of submission that enables us to access the power of God and to stand strong in the Lord. And so it's somewhat of a simple message today, but really it's profound and life-changing. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And so my closing prayer and my desire for your life, for your faith and our potential future together is this: that I pray according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations and forever and ever. Amen. And just before we sing again, I just want to say that those of you here today who may not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ, that you haven't done that great exchange in life where you have died to yourself and instead received the life of Jesus within you. Well, today you need to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to believe that he is the Son of God, sent by God the Father from heaven to this earth in the flesh, to die on the cross in your place, to pay for your sins so that you could be forgiven and brought into peace and eternal life with God. But he didn't just die. He rose from the grave. He ascended back into the heavens and he has promised to return again, maybe today, to resurrect us, to glorify us so that we can live in eternal life with him. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, you will be able to stand strong in him and this life and forevermore.